Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, it's Kristen from The Burt Show, and Atlanta United is celebrating pet owners at the match on Saturday, April 12th, as the Five Stripes take on the New England Revolution. So each order of the Pet Appreciation Pack is going to include an Atlanta United pet bandana for your furry friend, and a portion of each ticket purchased will be donated back to the Atlanta Humane Society, where I got my sweet boy, Cooper Boone. All right, get your tickets now or check out the entire game schedule at atlutd.com. That's atlutd.com. Atlanta United, unite and conquer.
The Burt Show.
Does your relationship really have what it takes to survive? You want to believe so, but let's take this test here and just see how accurate you are.
All right, so I came across this Instagram reel and I'm like, these are actually hitting. Like, some of these, like, lists are, like, just stupid. And I'm like, this one, I think this lady actually knows what she's talking about.
Abby, you want to go get some coffee or something?
Okay, great. I don't need this. Wait, I just got coffee. Maybe I'll go get a life next.
So she's integrated underscore well-being underscore. And she is a couples therapist. And she noticed 7 patterns in couples who made it. Okay. And I'm like, all right, let's see what these are.
As we go around the room, are we going to confirm or deny in your current relationships if these are accurate to yours?
Absolutely. I think we should. All right, so the first one is they had boundaries with family. They put the relationship first and had clear boundaries with family. They didn't vent to them about issues or make decisions based on what their families wanted.
100%.
Took us a minute, but we got there.
Okay.
It took us a minute to get there, but we got there as well.
I am not in that phase yet, as I am seeing somebody, but we're not anywhere close to that.
I'm trying to get to the third date, so I'll just watch.
All right, the next one is they were friends. They genuinely enjoyed spending time with each other. They were excited to come home and catch up after a long day. Friendship was the basis of their relationship. Now, I can say, like, I do genuinely enjoy spending time with my husband, but I'm not excited to come home and catch up after a long day. Now, granted, I talk for a living, so the last thing I want to do when I go home is talk some more. So I think that probably plays a factor in this instance.
I think it's a cheat code for me because the relationship is long distance. But because it is, I would say yes to that.
I don't talk to anyone about my day.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no. So, no.
Huh.
But we're friends. We talk about other things, but not
my
day.
Do you genuinely enjoy hanging out with him?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I would say more so in this one than I've ever experienced before.
All right, next. They had been through really dark times. They had all been through really difficult periods where they were at crossroads and even had second thoughts, but they chose to stay together and work through it. This established trust.
Yeah, we do that weekly.
Yes.
I would say yes. I think dark times too doesn't even have to pertain to the relationship, but it's like just dark times in life.
Mm-hmm.
I've said before that I feel like Bart and I have been our strongest when we've gone through our toughest trials. So whether it's grieving the loss of somebody or IVF, you name it, I feel like that's when we were like bonded the closest.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I'm being cryptic on purpose. Oh, hell yeah.
All right. They let each other be themselves. There was a base level of respect and admiration for each other rather than a desire to change each other. This freedom brought out the best parts of each of them.
Yeah, 100%.
I think this one's a struggle for us.
Hmm. I would say we do, but we still get annoyed by it. Like, I do feel, and like I've shifted this because for so long, I know there's certain things I do that drive my husband crazy, right? And things like leaving my shoes out, leaving lights on, you know, leaving cabinet doors open.
The breathing, the blinking.
Yeah. That's how I feel about him. And I used to be like, that's me. Like, you just have to accept me for me. And then I realized that's such a cop out. Like, these are really little minor things that I can change that mm-hmm. would make his life easier. So why would you not want to make your spouse's sure. life mm-hmm. easier? All right, so the next one, they had difficult conversations. They communicated regularly and were open to each other's perspectives. They didn't cope by avoiding or denying. Emotional regulation was present, so conversations rarely became explosions. Now, Bart and I, that we've never really had an explosion. There's never been screaming. There's never been yelling. There's never been name calling. But I do feel like we could communicate better. That's something that we could totally work on.
We struggle at that, mostly because we're completely different communicators in that she doesn't like to communicate at all.
Count your blessings, bro.
That's great for long distance.
Yeah, exactly.
This is something we've gotten better at, but we are still working on.
Mm-hmm. Too new.
All right. They fought. They got on each other's nerves. They fought. And were frustrated with each other at times, but they knew how to navigate conflict, bounce back, and move forward. We got this one down pat.
Too new.
Weekly.
This is like the same question three times in a row. We're struggling, Bob.
Weekly, you guys have these?
Like little spats?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, next, they made light of each other's quirks. They appreciated and acknowledged the quirks in each other. Even if they were at times annoying, they made light of them and were never hypercritical. Bart and I are excellent at this.
This is the basis of the situationship I'm in right now.
Yeah, for the most part.
We tried, but I went through a very hypersensitive phase where I took it all literally, so we stopped doing that.
Oh, but you're on meds now.
Yeah, I'm better now. We'll ease into it.
And that's it.
That's it?
Yes.
That is solid, it. Man.
I thought so, too. Like, for the most part, I was like, I feel like we're doing all right, but it also made me realize there's some things we can work on here.
Of course.
For sure. Always.
I mean, there's no relationship. That's perfect. Of course. We will post that up online at thebirdshow.com. You know the responsibility that you have as a man or a woman to be a great wingman or a great wingwoman when you guys go out, right? For dudes, it's really not about safety. For dudes, it's like, hey, help your dude get a number. Help your dude get laid.
That's it.
Okay. For women, it's more like security, right?
Yes.
Please help me from this guy. I don't trust this guy. He's a creeper. You got to be a good wing woman. Put yourself between the two of these guys, right? And pull your girl away. That's being a good wing woman. So here Mo is all night long working hard for his friend.
That is funny that guys, it's like the complete opposite. Women's objection is extraction,
yep.
like getting her out of there.
Yeah.
And your objection, you know, objective is to get him in there.
Yeah. That's a very good point.
Yeah, exactly. And the one thing that apparently you left out for both is financial. I didn't realize that you pretty much need a financial department nowadays to be somebody's wingman.
Really?
What?
That's what I said, right? But this has now become like a pattern, and it really came to a head the other day with my guy. So, yes, in my experiences of being a wingman, that is literally all you are supposed to do. Mm-hmm. Show up with your guy, help him. If he's in a situation where he's trying to talk to a young lady, move on with your life. That's it. That's all I am responsible for.
If she is there with another woman, then as a wingman, you kind of come in and occupy the attention of the other woman so your dude can make his move, right?
Right.
Separate.
Two reasons this is awkward for me nowadays. One, in my wingman days, I was always single. So it's a little easier when you're single because there's no boundary, there's no line that you have to draw. You can do whatever you need to do to help your guy out. When you're in a relationship, it's a little different because you can't do but so much.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit of flirting you can do. You got to get up out of there, right? And then you're on your own. The problem with that is my guy doesn't close the deals without offering things that cost money. And usually it's drinks.
Mm-hmm.
This is where the problem has mm-hmm. now come in for me as his wingman. And I need y'all as a show to help me decide on if this man owes me money. Because I believe he does.
Yes.
All right. Set the scene here.
All right. So we're out. And this is like probably a once, maybe twice a month kind of thing at this point where I get it. My dude was in a relationship for a very long time. Now he's single. He's trying to enjoy his singledom, as I call it, right? And every time we go out, typically someone will catch his eye. The last time we went out, we were sitting in the corner by ourselves, having drinks, doing our thing. There was these two ladies at the bar. One caught his eye. It was obvious. Like, he couldn't stop talking about this woman the entire time.
Okay, quick interjection. I'm so sorry. But if you see him and he picks his target, okay? he picks his target. If she is so far out of his league, do you ever tell him, like, bro, no. Like, you can't snag that.
No.
Really?
No. Never. No, no, no. I would never
really?
Do that. No, no, no.
No.
Because you never know.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
You never know, yeah. Right?
Everybody's got a type.
Everybody, yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen some guys bag some women, and I was like, how?
Right.
And you never know.
I find this fascinating, okay?
Nah, never.
No. So we're sitting there, and then I can see he's being a little bit sheepish about it. He orders another round of drinks. So I guess this is him getting his courage up, right? Now, I get it because I think most men don't mind being rejected as long as no one sees it. Mm-hmm. I think it's a little different mm-hmm. when you get rejected in front of your friends and you got to make that walk back to the table and you feel like a loser because it just didn't work out and everyone saw you.
Well, then, and if your friends really love you, they're going to give you a tremendous amount of crap once you get back to them.
100%.
When they see it happen. There's going to be a minute or two where you're just going to have to take heat.
And I'm that friend. I'm the friend that will ask you, why are you back here in 30 seconds? Like, how could you have done so bad that you were already back here? So he finally, like, gets the courage. And as soon as he does, they're getting up to leave. Mm. So I go, perfect. So he's like, yeah, it wasn't meant to be. I'm like, no, this is perfect because go over there. If you get rejected, at least they're leaving. So you don't have to sit there and have them stare at you for the next hour, wondering why you bothered them while they were having drinks. So he's like, okay, cool. So I encourage him to get up. And he's like, well, you got to come with me. I'm like, no, I don't. We're fine. Right? I get up.
Training wheels, man.
Oh, my God. I go with them. Now we're sitting at the bar, and we asked them if we could have their seats since they were leaving. They said yes because they had much better seats than us. So we sit down, and then I'm looking at them like, now's the time.
Right.
What are you waiting for?
Let's go.
This is the moment.
We've already kicked them out of their seats.
Right.
Hey, can I have your seats because I'm a man and you're a woman?
So then he's like, hey, before y'all leave, would y'all like another drink? That was his move. So I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
That's not a bad move at all. So surprisingly, she goes, sure, why not?
Would you all, how many are we talking about here?
It was two of them.
Okay.
So he gets the round of drinks. Okay. I thought it was going to be a round.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing, a round of drinks. Before I know it, jokes start flying, drinks start coming, then ask for another round.
Mm-hmm.
Well, who's supposed to pay for that round? Then ask for another round. So at some point, we sat there for about an hour, and there were like four rounds of drinks.
Mm-hmm.
It got to the point they got so comfortable and confident in drinking with us that they started ordering drinks for us. Oh, they were like,
okay.
Around for everyone.
Yeah.
So I thought when the check came that we were going to like split this somehow.
Yeah.
That's not what happened. Me and my guy now have to cover everything. And each time a round comes, he's saying stuff like, yeah, let's do it. We got it. Another one. And I'm sitting there like, no, DJ Khaled. I don't. I've hit my limit. There's nothing in this for me. I'm a wingman. I'm hot. And then at the end of the night, I think the bill was like $500 and something.
What? What were they drinking?
Doubles. There was shots. There was food. They're eating the food. Yeah,
they were trying to make his dude look good.
Yeah, exactly.
That cost a lot of money.
No, did he get had? Did they realize?
Yes.
Did they realize we got one on the line and we can sit here and drink and eat for free as long as we're just nice to him?
That's exactly what was happening.
You think? Because sometimes I've been in this situation too where the vibe ends up being so good with the four of us that it almost isn't a, like, hitting on her situation. It's just like the four of us hanging out and having a great time.
Okay, that's fair. It was like that. That's very true. But it wasn't good enough vibe where we was all splitting the bill.
Okay.
It wasn't that good of a vibe. So at the end of the day, he looked at me like, what, you want to do halves? And I'm like, what I'm going to say? I can't let him down.
This is in front of the women?
Okay. He didn't wait until if they were gone, it would have been like easier. But no, he's asking me in front of them. So now I don't want to look like that guy.
Right.
So I'm like, yeah. And then when we left, I was like, now you owe me half of my half.
Yeah.
I feel like you owe me half of my half.
Yeah.
And he didn't fight it. He was like, I kind of get it.
Yeah.
But I still haven't gotten my half. But am I wrong for feeling like?
No, no. Not at all.
No, you're 100%.
Okay.
100%.
Okay, man. He owes me half of my half.
You worked hard that night.
For nothing.
Very hard that night.
You know he didn't work hard. You didn't work hard. You sat there and drank and ate and had a good time with some strangers, but you definitely got used.
Yeah.
For sure.
The Burt Show.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway,
the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Can you ask somebody out at work without making it weird? This is a question I posed a couple of weeks ago, or actually I think it was just last week, where I was talking to one of my guy friends who really wanted to make the moves on this lady that he works with. And he asked for my advice, and I said my advice was don't mess up a professional relationship just for the idea that you think that this relationship might work out. But y'all actually came back and said a relationship that starts at work could actually work.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
And I think there's a lot of industries where that's how they meet their significant other.
Right. Yeah, I think the mature thing probably is to not. It's probably the healthier thing not to. But I wasn't thinking. I was just going for it, man.
Your default isn't healthy either, so.
No, it really wasn't.
I've always been torn on it because in my personal experiences, I don't think it's ever worth the risk. But that is how my parents met, and it's worked very well for them.
Okay.
If I'm being honest, so like, and that's how my parents met too. And they had a successful like 20 plus year marriage. So when I was a server, dated people I served with at TGI Fridays, dated people I served with at Merrick Inn. When I started working in minor league hockey, dated somebody in the office at the minor league. When I started in radio, I never dated anybody. But I did other things.
When you were a server, was everybody dating everybody?
Oh my God. It was like a meat swap 24/7.
Absolutely.
It was so gross and incestuous if you think about it, but literally everybody dated everybody.
Mm-hmm, same.
We should have just spit in each other's mouths because that's essentially what we were doing.
Okay, you.
Okay. So I took all this advice and I took all of your anecdotal evidence to my friend. I said, look, I think it's a bad idea, but if you really want to go for it, these are what my coworkers said. And he said, well, actually I'm gonna go for it because we actually talk on the phone every day for 2 hours, and I really feel like there's something. I was like, this is really important information you should have informed me with when coming to me saying that you want to ask this girl out. Then I would have said, heck yes, you talk to her every day, you're already in a relationship.
So just so I have it right, talking on the phone for 2 hours is a positive
for a girl, I think so. Okay. And if you want to date somebody, I think talking on the phone for 2 hours is a sign that you have a good relationship.
That sounds miserable.
I'm with you, but I've had to come accustomed to it being in a long distance relationship.
When Bart and I first started dating and we were doing long distance for that whole 6 months, we did long distance. Yeah, we talked for hours on the phone.
Well, that's different. Long distance, if you're not going to see each other for a while. But yeah, if it's a day-to-day, 2 hours. I'm talking, and we're saying talking. We're not talking texting. We're saying like literally talking with words on the phone.
And Abby, they're talking for 2 hours on the phone and then seeing each other at work the next day.
So
let me give you some context. So they actually both work remotely. So my friend lives in Atlanta and his office's headquarters are in Chicago. So he's up in Chicago a lot for work and he'll see her in person there.
Okay.
And so they'll do like meetings over Zoom and stuff. And I guess they just talk all the time on the phone after work. It's a very confusing relationship that I don't totally understand. And so when I got that update, I got some good news. And then later on, I got some bad news. So he informed me that they had that relationship where they were talking on the phone all the time. And apparently when they go out together, they have a really good time. And all of their other coworkers definitely seem to think that there's some chemistry there. It's been brought to his attention that everyone thinks that this would be a really good match. And so I'm thinking like, okay, all right, like here we go. So he informs me that he made plans to fly up to Chicago in a couple of weeks to, of course, be there for work, but also, you know, take this lady out on a little date. Okay. And I said, okay, did you like ask her out directly? And he goes, no, I just said like, we should meet for drinks because that's what we normally do. And I said, no, you got to tell her that this is going to be a date. You need to make it as blatant as possible that you have romantic intentions for her. And he goes, okay. So he hangs up. And I guess at some point he asks her out between our next, that conversation and the next one. And then he gives me a call back and he is panicking because
I guess this girl has dated some other dude at the office for, used to date a guy who worked at their Chicago office for a while, and I guess the relationship didn't end well. So then she gave him the excuse, well, you know, I really like you, but I just am really nervous about dating somebody at work again because I already did it and it's just been so hard. And then my friend goes, can you just be honest with me? Like, if you don't like me, just be clear. She straight up said this, just be clear and in my misery because I really like you. I think I see a future with you. I think this could be something really great. I really do see this working out. Like, we talk on the phone every day for 2 hours. Like, we're practically dating.
So he pushed all in. He put it all out there.
Yes. He was like, just put me out of my misery because then I can move on if you just shut the door.
It's so off-putting though, saying that, because now you're literally saying to her, like, I know you're not telling me the truth. Which she could interpret as, okay, so now you're calling me a liar. And this could escalate quick.
Yeah, but women lie all the time to get out of this kind of stuff. It's because they think that they're not hurting their feelings by saying, oh, well, it's not you. It's just because all of this trauma I have. No, you just don't like him. And just be honest. You're not making it any easier for him.
Nuh-uh, I'd rather be lied to.
You want to be lied? Yes. I hate that.
Don't take it. Couldn't be me. It has to be something else.
Nah, tell me the truth.
Clarity is kindness. And so I guess he just kept pressing in on saying, just can you just tell me that you don't like me and we can move on? And she goes, no, it's not that. Like, I, you know, I really do like you and things would be different if we didn't work for the same job. And so now he gets off the phone with her and he calls me in a panic saying, like, what do you think this means? And I was straight with him. I was like, I think she's lying to you. Mm-hmm. And I don't think she has the balls to be clear with you. Again, this has been my motto for like the last 4 months. I just don't understand why people can't be adults and have a conversation and just say what they mean. I don't understand why we play games. I don't understand why we hide our true emotions. Life would just be so much simpler if you just had the courage to have the 10 minutes of uncomfortableness, and then everything else will get better from there. You only make the tension worse when you don't say how you really feel.
Two things here. So I made this analogy a couple of days ago. I think if life was a 20-story building, most people emotionally live on about the 7th floor or 8th floor. So having like adult conversations and working through that kind of tension, it's way up there on the elevator. They're not even capable of doing it, right? And the second thing is, if somebody really likes you, the circumstances don't even matter.
Yeah. That's why I don't think she's, that's why I think she's lying. I think if I'm in a position and I work, let's say we hire some Jim Halpert looking hottie and he asked me out, I'm not saying, oh no, he can't date him, ruin the show chemistry. No, I am dating Jim Halpert because I think he's hot. So I felt like then I was put in a position to be honest with him. I said, I need you to hear it from me because you won't hear it from her. This is your sign that she does not want to date you. So you need to shut down anything in your mind that tells you that this is a possibility, because it is not. And the most attractive thing you can do right now, if you ever do want her to come around and like you at some point, which I don't think is a good idea to pursue, then it's more attractive for you to just move on and take what she's saying at face value.
Bingo. Yeah.
Agree.
You nailed it.
Yep. Yeah.
So anyway, he's heartbroken.
Bless the Lord.
The Burt Show.
Yeah, wasn't suitable for work or The Burt Show, so we put it on our bonus episode. Kristen's dark side of hotels take a nasty turn on our bonus content this week. And our producer, Mikey, taking too much Delta 8 before a horror movie, not a good idea. We got bonus content for you guys this week, theburtshow.com/bonusBS. All right, it's simple math. One person cheats in the relationship, and another person cheats in the relationship, do they cross each other out? There was no infidelity whatsoever. That's the email.
Hey, Burt Show. I'm a regular listener and love listening to the podcast for some good vibes and laughter. Let's keep it real. I also love the drama, but I don't love being the drama, and that's where I find myself. Hopefully you can offer some advice. So a couple years ago, I made a massive mistake and cheated on my boyfriend when I was really drunk. It was a one-night thing that I immediately regretted and confessed to him. It was a terrible decision, but thankfully we managed to work through it and move past it. Fast forward to this past weekend, my boyfriend cheated on me. He was out with his boys, got completely trashed, and ended up hooking up with a girl after the bars. The next morning, he straight up admitted it to me. He followed his confession with what I thought was a sincere apology, but closed it with, since you did the same thing a couple of years ago, now we're even.
Oh, wow. That's one way to close an apology.
I was absolutely floored. I thought we had moved past my mistake and that he had forgiven me. But now it feels like he's been holding on to it just to use it against me when it suited him, like some sort of cheat card that I had no clue existed. I'm so hurt and angry. I don't know how to navigate this situation or what to do next. And that's where I'm hoping you can lend me a hand. I could really use some perspective and advice on how to handle this whole mess.
What I really want to say is neither one of you are mature enough to be in this relationship. But I'm not. But that's what I want to say. But I'm not going to. Where are you guys at?
This is a wrap. I don't think this relationship can ever recover and be what it once was. I mean, I don't want to say I get the cheating back part, but I'm the kind of person that I would have to leave a relationship if I got cheated on because I know I would do it. And there's just no way that I would be able to stay in it and forgive. But if you do choose to stay in a relationship with somebody after they cheat on you, then it's up to you to do the work to forgive them, mm-hmm. not to pay them back.
Yeah, this would be a reason to break up. Like if you're going to use what I think is probably one of the worst things you can do in a relationship to somebody to get back or to get even, like that's enough for me to walk away. And Bert won't say it, but I will. But I don't think you guys are mature enough to be in this relationship.
Couldn't say it better myself.
Yeah. Just taking a card out of your playbook. And so I just feel like this is the end of your relationship. And I know it's tough because you thought that you had moved past it and you probably have grown from this situation. You probably have grown from the cheating a situation that you took part in, but he clearly hasn't. So I think you should just take this moment to run because if he's going to do it once, he'll probably do it again.
So am I the only one who thinks that the cheating's not the worst part here? The worst part is since you did the same thing a couple of years ago, now we're even.
Yeah, it's equally bad, I think.
I'm
kind
just
of mentality.
Yeah, because she made a mistake. She was wrong. Y'all moved past it. If you're going to be in a relationship, if there's going to be like mutual understanding, mutual love, mutual respect, you can't take somebody's mistake and lord it over their head and then redeem like your get out of jail free card whenever because they did something right. wrong. Like right. That tit for tat in a relationship does not bode well for any relationship, nor does it lend to a successful relationship. So, yeah, you made a mistake and you guys decided to stay together and move past it. And he's going to think like, well, I forgave you. Why can't you forgive me? I'm just going to be like, I could forgive you for the cheating, but I can't forgive you for the fact that this was like you, almost like you were getting back at me in some way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not the same. One was, and I'm not condoning her cheating to begin
not
with.
Not at all.
But one was a mistake and one was vindictive. And to me, that's the difference. Like if you're going to do something in the back of your mind being like, well, I can get away with this because like I can just use it against her. But yeah, to me, there was malice involved in one of them.
All right. We all are in agreements. And obviously, that's the mature way to look at this, right?
Uh-huh.
But in theory, why is if you cheat on somebody and you just do it and you're the first person to do it, you kind of set the stage for now where the relationship is. Why is the person who cheated back worse than the person who because you just did it to pay somebody back? I'm not saying that makes it right. It's why is that worse?
I think it's worse because, and it's like minusculely worse, but it is a little worse because, no, she is, let's go ahead and establish, she was wrong, she cheated, she did a bad thing, shame on her. But if I were him, if you can't get over that, break up. Don't sit there and hold on to that to use it against her several years later.
Is that a fair ask?
So I don't think this was vindictive. I don't think this was vindictive. I think that he wasn't just waiting to have an affair. I think that he ended up sleeping with somebody. And when he did, he's like, well, you did it a couple of years ago. So I just did it. But I don't think he's been like calculating a vindictive move.
And I'll agree with you on that. Mm. I don't think he's being vindictive here, but
yeah, it is a fair ask. Either you forgive me or you don't. If you can't forgive me and you may do something like this down the road and be like, oh, well, she cheated on me, then all's fair in love and infidelity, then no, don't stay with me.
I don't disagree. I just know in reality, when you love somebody, it's just not always that easy. So I'm not the second person who cheats. I think they're both wrong. I just don't think one is worse than the other.
I just think you're also if you are in a relationship where you are lowering your values because the person you're in the relationship with had the lower values a year ago, it makes zero sense to stay in that relationship.
It's time to go.
Right?
Now we're just digging.
Right.
We're just digging. Lower.
The Burt Show.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
There's a big difference sometimes between who you are and who you want to be. I want to be a guy in a crisis situation, can slow everything down, mentally take that breath and be super helpful. I know I am not that person. In a crisis situation, I panic. I black out. I'm not that guy. There are some, though, that can slow it all down just perfectly and save the situation.
Yeah, so I was on TikTok and came across this clip from the Diary of a CEO podcast with this guy named Dr. Mike, who I've seen a couple of times give some medical advice. And he was talking about the time that he actually saved a life on a plane. You know, if there's a crisis and the pilot or the flight attendants will be like, is there a medical professional? Is there a medical professional? And all the doctors are like, don't look at me. Please don't look at me. Well, he actually stood up and ended up saving a guy's life using a medical kit.
Had a medical emergency on a flight and they made that call. Is there a doctor on board? And I was faced with the moment like, okay, do I volunteer? Do I just stay quiet? I don't know what to do, but I volunteered. And it turned out that a young gentleman was going into anaphylactic shock. His throat was closing up due to an allergy. And I wasn't worried. I said, where's your EpiPen? And he said, I don't have one. I didn't even know I had this allergy. So I asked the pilot, can we land? Pilot says, well, it's an hour and a half back to Canada and an hour to Portugal, some island in Portugal. That's not enough time. His throat's closing. He's going to die in 5 minutes. Oh. So I'm like, what can I do? So I opened the plane's emergency kit thinking there's going to be some epinephrine in there or an EpiPen, and there's no EpiPen. And I'm like, okay, what do I do now? There's no internet when you're over the Atlantic Ocean, so there's nothing to Google. But I'm finding that there is epinephrine, which is the same medicine that is found in an EpiPen in a different formulation, in a different dosage for a cardiac arrest. So when someone's heart stops, we also give the same medicine. If they're flatline, if they have a specific rhythm to try and restart the heart. So it's a much thicker needle, much longer, not those cute little EpiPen needles that just go into the side of your thigh. And I said, okay, well, I need to do some rough calculations here and just guesstimate here because otherwise he's going to lose his life. And right there in the first class cabin, we take off his pants. We inject him with this huge needle. He's screaming. There's like a little bit of blood coming out. I inject the medicine. I'm praying that it's working. Fast forward, I stayed with him for 8 hours for the rest of that flight until he landed. We didn't need to divert. I checked his blood pressure and pulse every 15 to 30 minutes, and we saved his life. You think that would be the end of it? You're like, look at that. I did my doctor job, and that's it. But I went and told that story on YouTube. Got almost 10 million views, if not more now. I don't know what it's at. The Senate Majority Leader, Chuck Schumer, calls from his office, or his office calls, and says, hey, I'd like to get EpiPens on planes. Wow. Can you stand with us and tell us your story to the media? Yes, we tell the story, we call on the FAA to make these changes, and now 70% of planes, I don't know what the exact number is, but something like 70% of planes have EpiPens on board.
Wow.
Where that will never have to happen again.
So if you ever get into an allergic reaction on a plane, you can thank my boy, Dr. Mike.
That's incredible.
Right? I know, right?
Do you realize that we will never be in this situation, an emergency situation where someone goes, hey, is anybody a radio DJ? Is there a radio DJ amongst us?
Need a comedian immediately.
Anybody know how to use a mic?
Anybody capable of not popping their pee?
All right, so who listening here has actually saved somebody's life? 1-855-BIRD-SHOW. Hey, Steven, good morning.
Hey, what's going on? Bird stuff on, by the way.
Thank you.
No, that's all good. It actually happened twice, but I guess I'll give you one story. It was 11th grade. Substitute teacher would eat some dry turkey, and we would watch a history movie. And they started choking, and then she got up, ran outside to the hallway, still, you know, banging on the door, choking or whatever. The whole class was kind of like, oh my God, what do we do? What do we do? She's choking. I get up behind her. She's kind of bigger than me, but I'm, you know, able to manage it. And I started doing the Heimlich maneuver. And that turkey flies out. And they gave me a student of the month.
You could get student of the year.
Yeah. What you gonna do?
Who's he better than you?
Just for March. Moral of the story, don't overcook your turkey.
Also, I'm guessing here in Stephen, because you guys were
Stephon,
I'm guessing because you guys were in high school that the joke was going around that she was choking on the chicken, right? And you saved her from choking on chicken, of course.
Right. Hey, really quick, before y'all let me go, if y'all don't mind, I wanted to say, Mo, I really appreciate everything you've been doing. You've gotten me through a lot of hard and dark times. So please don't stop doing what you're doing.
I appreciate that, brother. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks for calling in. Appreciate you.
And I caught the light flex in the beginning when you said I did it twice, too. You just out here saying most of love. I caught it.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate you. All right, here it is, Amanda. Amanda, good morning. You're part of the Burt Show. Hi.
Good morning. So yesterday, actually, my husband, we had tried one of those vape pens in Indiana. It's not legal, so we can try these vape pens, the THC Plus or whatever that we had got from a store. And he took a pretty good hit off of it. It's something we tried just a couple times. And he lost consciousness, stopped breathing. I had to perform CPR, you know, and it was, I mean, luckily it was about maybe a minute up to a minute that he was unconscious and I was trying to give him breath, but, I work in the medical field. I forgot everything about CPR in that moment. He was sitting in a chair. It was like, how do I do this? So I was hitting him in the chest and just, I mean, it was a mess. So I absolutely forgot everything. We're so thankful, that he's okay, you know, but definitely want to bring awareness too to some of these pens and things out there we bought from a store that was legal here and not safe, clearly. So
That'll be the last time you're vaping, huh?
100%.
Yeah.
That'll do it.
Damn. And Candace, good morning. You're on the Burt Show.
Good morning. My best friend and I, we were out bicycling and we decided to double back on our route. And up ahead of us, we saw a guy just fall over. And what we thought, suddenly a crack was forming in the road. And I was like, that's not a crack, that's blood. So I hustled up to where he was. And then my friend got there and he was lucid. So I told him, don't move. I don't know if you've broken anything. So we called EMS, we called the police. We kept traffic from hitting him. Several months later, we heard from, I don't know, we heard through the grapevine, his sister was looking for us, and she called us and said, hey, thank you for saving my brother's life. He had a stroke, and he lost vision in his eye, his left eye, but if you hadn't been there, he wouldn't be alive today.
Wow. That's incredible.
That's like awesome. Right place, right time. Yep. Everything came into play to make sure you guys were there to help.
And we weren't going to double back.
Yeah.
It was my best friend's idea. That she said, let's just double back. Let's get some extra time in. So we went back. If we hadn't doubled back, he would be dead.
Unbelievable.
Amazing.
You don't want me to be the one that's going to save your life either, because I will remind you every day if I saved your life. Like, I call up every single day. Hey, you remember that time I saved your life? I'd be texting you all the time. Hey, remember that time a couple of days ago I saved your life?
And today is because of me.
It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.